Hey everybody, this is Pierre Quinn and you're listening to episode number 74 of the Leading While Green podcast, where my mission is to help you live, learn, and lead with confidence. On this episode of the podcast, I am joined by the president and CEO of 120 Design Studio, Marshall Fox. And in our conversation, we talk about how Marshall went from being broke to helping to build the brand of one of the top motivational speakers in the world. We have a great conversation about passion, about perseverance, and about why you need to build a community to help you bring your dreams to life. It's a great conversation, so listen up. Second podcast episode of 2019, and we started off with a bang. If you didn't catch that conversation on episode 73 with Crystal Clark, you missed it. Great conversation for young adults, for those who have a passion for growing the next generation of leaders. And Crystal layered us with great insights on how to lead and how to lead young adults. So you want to check that out. That's episode number 73. Before we jump into the conversation with Marshall Fox, I just want to thank you for your support of the Leading While Green podcast. You've carried your support from 2018 all the way into 2019, and I'm extremely grateful for that. Now, if you haven't hopped over to prcquinn.com and checked out my free course, 12 Tips to Grow as a Leader, you're missing out. I'm trying to help you start your new year off right. It's my free course, 12 Tips to Grow as a Leader. That's a tongue twister, right? 12 Tips to Grow as a Leader. Great video content, actionable, practical stuff that you can put into place right now. While you're at prcquinn.com, also check out my signature course, my Leading While Green signature course that's based on my book, Leading While Green, that you can find on Amazon. And I really peeled back the curtain and poured a lot into this course. This is rich content that I've shared with great teams across the country, and I'm giving it to you. I mean, the offer is an extreme discount versus what I charge some of these organizations to come in and teach their team. So you want to check that out at prcquinn.com. Also, hop over to iTunes, leave a 5-star review and some comments. Let people know about this journey that we're going on this podcast. My guest today is Marshall Fox, the president and CEO of 120 Design Studio. We talked about how Marshall went from being broke to building the brand of one of the top motivational speakers in the world, how he kept going when things were tough in his business, and how developing a community, how finding a community was really key for him making this dream come to life. You want to take notes because it's some good stuff. Here's my conversation with Marshall Fox. Excited to have on this episode of the podcast, founder, CEO, and senior designer for 120 Design Studio, Marshall Fox. Thanks for joining me today, bro.
Oh, thank you for having me, Pierre, man. I'm excited to be on this podcast.
So take me back, man. Take me back. I don't know if it was elementary school. I don't know if it was high school. At what point did design become a thing for you? Like, at what point did it click and you said, okay, this is what I want to do with my life?
Well, man, initially it was very early on. As I was a kid, I would draw from time to time, do some things for my grandmother. She would always want me to draw this, draw that, paint something in her bathroom. But when I was in high school, that's when things really started to pick up. I was actually in a program called computer graphics. So I learned, you know, Adobe Illustrator, Photoshop and things like that. But honestly, man, when I left high school, I didn't touch design. For a while. So it was really up until a couple years ago, you know, I hadn't even really touched it. I hadn't really thought about it like that. But you know, I don't know how far you want me to go back, but my wife is actually the one that encouraged me to get back into it. She said, "Hey, I know it's something that you're kind of interested in." And she knew because we would be out, we would see the menus or I would get somebody's business card and say, "Man, this is terrible." But, you know, I couldn't do anything about it, you know, but she always knew that I was that type of guy. So she actually pushed me to get into graphic design and I reluctantly obliged. And I'm glad I did.
She out there trying to pick appetizers and you talking about Pantone colors.
Right. And I still do it. I still do it today, man. Even watching TV, something to come up or, you know, a product or something like that. I'm like, oh, I like that logo. She's like, man, you're always talking about logos, what you like and don't like. So it's just inside of me, man.
So you have this passion, these gifts for design and for art inside of you, cultivated at a young age inside of your family. What was life like during that space where you weren't operating in what you were gifted to do, like professionally, personally? What was that? What was going through your head?
So, yeah. So the time that I wasn't in this space, you know, I don't know what year it was, but my wife, my now wife, she was my girlfriend at the time. You know, she was expecting, she was with child. So I had actually had to drop out of college and I got a job at Target. And you'll notice Target in my Diamond. I don't even know if it's still open. It was a high risk store. I was a security guard, 120 pounds soaking wet. you know, security guard. And I actually
top flight.
Exactly. Yeah, I would get all those jokes, man, coming in. But I really learned a lot during that time. But I stayed at Target for 5 years and actually moved my way up into management and then transitioned over to leading the fraud investigations team at a credit union, local credit union here in the Maryland area called CQ. So I was in the security and loss prevention field pretty much my entire adult life. Up until a couple years ago, I decided, hey, I'm not the 9-to-5 type. You know, listening to, you know, a lot of professional development, motivational speakers, a lot of prayer, soul searching. And I just jumped out there and I actually left that job and got into full-time sales, 100% commission, no salary, selling final expense insurance to seniors with my father, who had been in the industry for about 30 years in the insurance industry.
Okay.
So I had a couple really great months and then I fell flat on my face in that industry, man. I had some really, really tough times. And it was at that point where my wife, she said, hey, you know, I'll go back. I'll get a job. She was a stay-at-home mom. And we had two kids then. Now we have three and one on the way. So soon to be four, just in a couple years. But she said, I'll go back to work. So I was like, no, I can't do that to you. I have to step up and make something happen. So I was faced with a challenge, either continue in the insurance business, which I was going to do. But it was at that point where she said, hey, why don't you try your hand at your graphic design thing, man? And I gave her every excuse in the book. I told her that, you know, I couldn't support my family with the average salary. I had Googled it and said, I can't support my family with that. I didn't go to school for it. Well, college, I don't have the experience, but I decided to go ahead and give it a try and actually did a logo for somebody that I had met in an online community called Breathe University. His name is Rob YB Youngblood. So I said, hey, man, I see your logo needs some work. You mind if I go ahead and try to revamp it? And he said, go for it. So, you know, I did that. And once we finalized it, he shared it within that community and also within his LinkedIn network. Things really exploded, man. He sent me about 40 new referrals in a couple months when people saw that logo. So everything kind of happened so fast. But, you know, went from $0 to over five figures per month within like a couple months just off of that one connection and me making a decision to go ahead and operating my gift. So since then, it's been, I've just been trying to get more comfortable in that and in my gift. And, you know, a lot is happening now. We have a couple people on staff. So, you know, just learning the leadership piece, something that I thought that I was running away from, but realizing that it's necessary right now. So just learning day by day, still have a long way to go. I'm still learning a lot. You know, this entrepreneurship thing is still new to me. I still feel like I'm a rookie in the game, but, it's been a fun ride up to this point.
So when you go from zero flat on your face, I mean, nothing, to making five figures a month, what happens to keep you from losing your mind or wasting all your money or settling for that? What keeps you grounded and motivated and then keeps you going to keep pushing?
Well, it's a few things. So I have a couple close friends, call them my board of advisors. So YB is in that group. We became like brothers since that first project. Another couple people that are in call them my board of advisors or my board of directors. So just having regular conversations with them, just to strategize and talk about what's next. A lot of prayer, a lot of discussions with my wife, because she's a stay-at-home mom. So, and I work from home. So We're here together all day. So, you know, it's a lot of conversations, a lot of strategizing, talking about what our goals are, not just with the business, but just life in general. So it's a lot of that. A couple communities I'm in, Breathe University, a couple people I'm connected with that I kind of bounce ideas off of. Mm-hmm. And my company now is partnered with a motivational speaker, Eric Thomas. So, you know, getting insight from him and his team as well on which direction that we should take and you know, what we're doing and progress and mile markers and things like that. They're always, you know, topics of conversation.
You mentioned that you have a board of directors that you rely on to make decisions now. And I think this is a good piece for our emerging leaders out there. Is this like a formalized thing? I mean, how do you structure it? How do I find people? And why do I even need a group of people, advisors, to help me with major decisions in my life?
Right. So my particular group, it isn't formalized. It's just a couple guys with different skill sets. We would kind of complement each other really well. And it kind of just fell into place, man. I think God put it together the way he did, just thinking about it now. But I do know there are a couple services out there that actually provide people like that. Or, you know, they'll have, because, you know, with entrepreneurs, especially when starting out, mm-hmm. you know, you kind of do everything on your own, you know, so you're like the CEO, the COO, the chief sales officer, everything in one. So I don't know the name of it per se, but I know there are some services out there that will basically provide those people for you where you can basically take your ideas and your business to them and kind of run certain things by them. And they'll help you make the decisions. So, but yeah, with my group, it kind of just happened naturally.
So you go from being a solo practitioner, you're by yourself, you're designing, business is picking up. And now at whatever stage you decide to add teammates or players on your team to help you grow this business, what had to shift in you? And what were some of the challenges and what had to shift in you now to move from solopreneur to a CEO with two or three, with a staff under you? What needs to shift, especially for creatives?
Right. So it was really born out of necessity because at the time, and still even sometimes today, I'm working 80, 90, 100 hours a week, trying to do everything on my own. And you reach a point where you just burn out.
Yeah.
You can't do anything. You can't even think and be creative and all of which is necessary in this space. And from the beginning, we haven't been like the bargain brand. We've kind of been more on the premium side in terms of pricing and just overall quality and just the experience that we like to give our clients. So I knew, given that, I always had that in my mind, that in order for me to do the best job that I can for the client at this price point, I need to be operating at 120% at all times. So anything less is not fair to the client, but they can go spend less money and get the same or better product somewhere else if I'm not operating at full capacity. So with that in mind, the decision was pretty much made. I need help. So all of the $10 an hour tasks or lower level tasks that I was doing, which took up a good majority of my day, in some cases, I needed to delegate out. So I needed to find somebody who can kind of take that on. So, and then, you know, now we have HR, payroll and whatnot, a lot of administrative tasks. So kind of give that to someone else. So that, you know, that's really what happened. It was born out of necessity. And I knew that in order for us to continue to grow and in order for me to not burn out and things to just stop completely, that I needed help. So
give us the origin of the name of your business, and then give us the scope of what your platform. You talked about being more of a premium brand, but who do you service and what's your focus?
Yep. So first question. So the name 120 Design Studio. So we're partnered with a motivational speaker named Eric Thomas, and he has what he calls the 120 philosophy, and 120 meaning above and beyond 100%. So, you know, most people look at 100 as the top marker, but we look at 120 going 120, meaning giving everything that you can and more. So it's really a philosophy on life. It's like a way of life. So, you know, when I joined the community called Breathe University a couple years ago. And in YB, I met YB, who I did the first logo for in that community. And like I said, he shared it within that community. Things kind of spiraled. They, you know, it was like a snowball effect. You know, one referral came, then another came. And a lot of my initial clients were in Breathe University. So, and that community is led by Eric Thomas. So they kind of took notice. They said, hey, we see you're adding value to a lot of people in the community. They actually came out and filmed a BU Stories video with me. That was really cool. And they said, hey, why don't we join forces? We see you could use some help. We have some people that we can put under you. We can help you automate and systematize some things. So it was around that time I prayed about it, talked to my wife about it, and we decided to go ahead and join forces. So it was around that time we were thinking of a name, and 120 kind of stuck out at that time. So we kind of rolled with that. And what was your second question? You asked about the name.
Scope. What's the scope?
Okay, scope, right.
Who you serve?
So, a lot of the people in the community. This is crazy because who we serve, it kind of found us. A lot of people struggle with trying to find their target market in their niche, but our target market kind of found us. We realized that it was really an untapped niche. So who we serve primarily are authors, speakers, coaches, and consultants. So people in that space. So a lot of people that are in Breathe University, they're young, they're ambitious. Not all of them are young, but ambitious go-getters. You know, they just, you know, people with like minds, they're going after more. And a lot of them happen to be, either speakers or looking to get into that space. Authors, a lot of them are working on their books, you know, maybe Amazon bestsellers, or they may just be getting started. So they had need for logos, you know, a lot of them personal branding logos, like your logo of your name or something like that. Book covers, business cards, websites and things like that. So that was a lot of the types of projects that we started. So now the majority of our clientele are in that space. So we don't necessarily turn anybody away if it's a good fit for us, but that's primarily who we serve, who we like to serve. And also working with Eric Thomas and doing a lot of his designs, I get to see firsthand, you know, what's needed for you know, speakers to really thrive and succeed in that space from a design standpoint, at least. So we like to do, pretty much give everybody access to the stuff that we do for Eric Thomas. We like to give everybody access to that. So the same level of quality, we want to give people that $1 million brand up front. So a lot of our clientele are in that space. But like I said, we don't turn people down who you may not be a speaker. You may have a barbershop, or you may have another type of business. We'll kind of meet and discuss and see if it's a good fit for both parties. We're not doing mixtape covers and stuff like that, but you know, we'll still work with different entrepreneurs if it's a good fit.
Let's unpack that a little bit more. You said if it's a good fit. So what are some factors that contribute to something not being a good fit for you? And what's your advice for leaders and entrepreneurs as it relates to retaining what your personal values or what your personal or the philosophy of your organization and really holding on to that?
Right. That's it right there. You just answered it. Yeah. So we look for people that have similar values. Like I said, we're not doing mixtape covers. So we had people coming to us, you know, where they wanted, you know, a half dressed lady on the front of a mixtape cover with the money and the gun. I'm like, no, we don't do that. And this is a good point, because when just starting out, it looks very lucrative. It looks like, you know what, I can go ahead and knock that out and get this couple hundred dollars real quick. But I made a decision very early on that we were going to stick to our core values and build it brick by brick, even if it takes us longer than it would if we were just taking on anything. So it's really, we like to work with people who have similar goals and values. I'm a Christian, so it's always a plus when somebody comes through who is a Christian or just a believer in general. But it's always a good fit. There's really good synergy with us when we work on those types of projects, and we can just relate more. So, you know, we just try to make sure that we stick to, like you said, our values and things like that. And if we don't, then, you know, we would probably be in a different place right now. You know, we probably would be serving any old person. But I think that the fact that we do stick to our values and the fact that we do have a specific target market and audience because of that, that's allowed us to go further and be more of a sustainable business than it would be if we were just serving anybody and not really adhering to our values.
What's something in your maturation and growth as a leader that you look back and say, man, I really wish I would have handled that a bit differently, but you were able to pivot and learn from that experience?
That's a good question. I think early on, I had a couple clients whose interactions I definitely could have handled differently. Like I had a couple people who decided not to work with us because I just didn't have, I didn't have any guarantees at the time. Mm-hmm. I guess the business wasn't set up like it would eventually be, you know, with contracts and you know, timelines with deliverables by certain dates and whatnot. So yeah. they would go ahead part ways with this. So I probably could have handled those type of situations differently. You know, that's probably the only thing I really think about, like, man, I could have handled that differently. You know, it's nothing personal. It's just business. I understand. But at that time, I kind of took it personal. You know, it's kind of like, oh, you can kind of looking forward to the project, looking forward to the paycheck. And then if somebody backs out and you kind of take it personally and then, you know, getting your feelings about it and whatnot. But yeah, I probably would have done that a little differently in the beginning.
Yeah, I know as a speaker, that's happened to me several times. You know, you get real close and everybody, right. we're about to send you a contract. We're about to finalize. And then you get that email. We've decided to go in another direction. And you're like, well, what did I do? What's wrong? Right. But really important not to take it personally, right?
Yep, that's it, man.
So you keep talking about Breathe University. Right. How important is it for leaders, for creators, for entrepreneurs to find a tribe, to find a community of people to support them and to help them with their goals and their dreams?
Man, it's everything. It is literally everything. Just thinking about Breathe University in particular, it really exposed me to a lot of different people that were further along or just in different areas in life and in business. Because growing up, I had always kind of been the one out of my peer group that was quote unquote at the top in terms of career and whatnot, mm-hmm. What the perception is. But joining something like Breathe University gave me access to people who are way further along. People younger than me were way further along in life and in business. So it kind of opened my mind up and said, hey, I may think I'm at the top of my current level, but it will allow me to be pulled up to the bottom of the next level, if that makes sense. So I'm at the top, but I'm only on floor one. I got people that are on floor two, floor three, floor four that I'm now exposed to, and they're ready and willing to help me out and teach me what they know so I can come to the next level. So whether I started to, you know, go up steps, start at the bottom of level two, I'm going to do that so I can get to level three. So it's good just to be in constant communication and fellowship with people who just have similar goals and dreams in terms of just wanting to better themselves and mm-hmm. being committed to just being the best person that they can be. Because, you know, we're all born into the families that we're born into and not everybody is like us. Mm-hmm. So it's good to be in those kind of communities where people, you know, you may be thinking about something or, you know, you may need a book recommendation or you may be facing a certain challenge in your business and people are just there ready to share with you some tools. And also, you know, calls are very helpful where you can kind of talk back and forth and share ideas and brainstorm with different issues, challenges, goals, plans that you have that you may not have within your family or your immediate, you know, peer group or coworkers or what have you. So, yeah, it's been literally a game changer for me joining Breathe University.
We have some people that listen to this podcast that in their respective fields, they are good. They're very good. They're very efficient. And sometimes when you begin to reach a level of efficiency, it's really hard for people to give you advice or to critique you. How have critiques impacted your life and your business? And what advice would you give to leaders and entrepreneurs in dealing with critiques?
I would say be open to it. I would say be open to it, but don't listen to anybody, because I found that a lot of people, they have advice, mm-hmm. critiques, But if you listen to everybody, you wouldn't get anything done. You wouldn't make any changes because so many people are trying to tell you what they think is right or what's the best way. And it's up to you to really sit down and figure out. I would say take the time to figure out what you're going to listen to, what you're going to implement, and what you're not. You can't do everything. And the other piece is just to be open-minded. Because a lot of people that, you know, they think they know what's going on, but there are a lot of people out there who know what they're talking about. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're I don't want to say further along, but they've achieved some things that if you listen to what they say, you'll be able to progress faster than if you didn't. So, I've been pleasantly surprised by the amount of people that that are willing to help and reach out, really without asking for anything in return. Mm-hmm. You know, a couple people, in particular, Emory University, some millionaires, they were helping me say, "Hey, look, we don't want anything. Like, this is our way of giving back. Mm-hmm. But we want to help you out. We want to give you these tips, these strategies. Call me at any time. We don't want anything in return. This is our way of giving back. Because we, you know, we've done X, Y, and Z, so we need this as much as you need it." So I've been pleasantly surprised. But had I not gotten in their company, I wouldn't have known. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Now I'm looking to be like that. You start to see the habits that these people have. So I know when I reach a certain point, and even now, I need to have that attitude. If I need to give back, I need to pull the next person up and not ask for anything in return.
So take us back. To that point where you didn't have a career. There was no 120 Design Studio. You got a small family. You're struggling. Kind of go back to that period of your life and kind of coach us or talk us through. Those of us who are on the fence, we got an idea, we got a passion, we got an industry that we're working in, but we're on the verge of giving up or saying it's not worth it. You know, what do we miss out on by not pursuing or following up with that thing that's been inside of us for such a long time?
Man, you lose everything. And early on, it was a gentleman that I met in Brie University called, his name is Patrick Pete, and he goes by the Gift Coach. So I had some early conversations with him. It's crazy thinking about it because, full transparency, he asked me, say, what, how much money do you want to make doing graphic design? I was like, man, if I could just make about 80, 90,000, I'd be straight. He was like, he was eating a sandwich or something. He was like, he said, man, you can double that easy. And I thought he was crazy. I was like, man, you're crazy. Graphic design? Nah, I just want to make enough to care for my family.
Yeah.
But shortly after that, I was on pace to doing that. I couldn't believe it. And all because I was operating in my gift. And, you know, you say that your gifts make room for you. And it definitely does. Opportunities started happening. You know, podcasts like this one. It's a prime example. You know, your gifts just start making room for you. And it's not something that I even really look out. Just like you shared with me, Pierre, you saw me via Black Speakers Network and then you reached out. Like, I'm not even really actively seeking any opportunities, even with clients. We don't really do any marketing. Mm-hmm. We don't post on social media. Man, I'm just getting emotional thinking about just the blessings that have come.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's crazy. It's crazy, man. I haven't done multiple six figures now just within a couple of years without any marketing. It's because I decided to operate in my gift. So things that I've learned from him, it really gave me that foundation. And he kind of helped me, and I'm still working on this, helped me with my confidence in my gift. He's like, man, you have it. I know you're humble and whatnot, but you have to be confident. You have to know that this is yours, and it's yours to be had. So you need to do what you have to do to use your gift to help others the way you see fit. So now I like to use my gift to help, you know, speakers and authors and consultants help their messages permeate and spread that much more based on the little things that I do. So I feel like I'm having a global impact just with my designs because the Absolutely. People that I give them to, they're able to spread their message far and wide because of the quality and the uniqueness of our design. So I think operating in your gift, you have to. Something that Patrick Pete said and another gentleman named Quest Green says is that people's lives depend on you operating in your gift. Mm-hmm. So when you don't, there are people whose lives are really literally at risk. Like, there's people whose lives you can be changing But you're not, because you're waiting. You're on the fence. You're not getting in. You're not doing what God has planned for you. So I think about that all the time. You know, it's just like people who may be speakers, or they may have messages that they need to share. They may have stories within them that they need to share. Somebody needs to hear that. Somebody out there, that particular message is waiting for them, and they're waiting to hear that message. So it's everything. Operating in your gift is everything. And I'm proof of it. And I see it happen all the time. I'm not an anomaly. I see it happen all the time, man. All the time. Your gifts will make room. That's true.
Listen, folks, you just got some free inspiration, motivation, and strategy from Marshall Fox. And I think you need to put that into practice. I mean, he's giving it away. He's pouring out his heart. And he's a living example of these things do happen. Marshall, this is what I like to call, at this point in the podcast, shameless plug time. And I know you don't do a lot of marketing, but let us know how to get in touch with you. Some people may want some design work, or maybe they might want some advice on entrepreneurship. How can we get in touch with you?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So you can reach us at 120 Design Studio. That's the number 120designstudio.com. We don't market, I haven't had time to. I mean, we will soon. I'm not saying we don't have to, but I don't have time to, and by the grace of God, I haven't really had to, but, it's something that we're going to start doing. You know, it's on a to-do list. You know how it is.
Absolutely.
A bunch of things on it. You'll get to it when you got to get to it. You know what I'm saying? We at 120 Design Studio. We're also on Instagram at 120 Design Studio and on Facebook at 120 Design Studio. And we're on LinkedIn. 120 Design Studio.
We'll make sure to put all of that into the show notes so you can reach out to Marshall and his team. Now this is premium brand. This is top shelf stuff. So don't come with the Fiverr special. Like, know what you get into. My guest has been Marshall Fox, the founder, CEO, senior designer of 120 Design Studio. We thank you, sir, for your time. I know I've been blessed by the conversation, and I know our audience will be blessed as well.
Thank you, man. Thanks again. I appreciate you reaching out, and thank you for having me, man. I hope my message reaches somebody this afternoon, evening, nighttime, morning, what have you.
So much to unpack from that conversation with Marshall Fox from 120 Design Studio. Just a reminder that sometimes in life you got to pivot. Maybe often in life you have to pivot. There's this way that we think life is going to turn out. We have a plan. We have a sense of direction. But sometimes our thoughts, our dreams, our plans are interrupted. And that interruption is to get us to a better place. I like how Marshall was open and receptive to mentorship, to community, to collaboration. And it's just a reminder that you don't have to try to do this thing on your own. Check out Marshall's work. I'll leave everything in the show notes so you got no excuse. Check out the great stuff that he's doing. Man, he's doing a marvelous job building brands. That's all I got for this episode of the podcast. You know it's my mission to help you live, learn, and lead with confidence. Hop over to iTunes, leave me a 5-star review and some comments. Let people know on your social media about this Leading While Green journey and how we're going to be rolling to support each other as leaders. That's all I got for this episode of the Leading While Green podcast. So until next time, take care and God bless.